But quickly in review, for those who may not have been here and those who may be listening by way of radio this evening, to catch you up to par with us, in Daniel chapter 6, there is revealed an amazing chapter that tells of the response of one of God's men to an ungodly decree that was signed by King Darius. Now, when Darius became king, he set up his government with satraps who took care of various things, and in that he reported, these satraps reported to three governors, of which Daniel was one of them, so that the king would suffer no loss, according to verse number 2. One of the three governors, Daniel, became one who was distinguished. And because he was distinguished and recognized as such because of his excellent spirit, verse 3, the other governors, the other satraps, sought Daniel's destruction. And so in an effort to put an end to Daniel, these evil men go before King Darius and appeal to his ego, beginning in verse number 6. So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom and the administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Now, watching as they were and waiting for Daniel to break this decree, these wicked men assembled themselves and caught Daniel in prayer to his God. Listen to verse 10 and 11. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Verse 13. So they answered and said before the king, when they took Daniel before the king, that Daniel, who is one of the captives of Judah, does not show due regard to you, O king, or for the decree that you assigned, but makes his petitions three times a day. Now verse 16, so the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Now, Daniel spent the night in the lion's den, but the king spent a sleepless night of fasting at home. Verse 18, now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No physicians or no musicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning, and he went and made haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouth so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he believed in his God. Daniel was safe. The den of lions had become Daniel's den, used to glorify God. The angel of God was sent to close the mouths of the lions so that they could not hurt Daniel, because Daniel was innocent before God. He had done no wrong before the king, and God delivered Daniel. As we noted this morning, the wisest choice Daniel made and the choice that determined all other choices made by Daniel concludes verse 23, and he believed in his God. Daniel was one who made good choices, wise choices, and the good choice of ours would be to study Daniel and make application of it. Now, having previously studied the text more thoroughly this morning, the text which we just reviewed, we now turn our attention to application of the teaching. Now, it's easy to do what is right in the church building, among church folks, and maybe even under the gun. We've played through all the scenarios of being a Christian when a friend at work knows that we are Christians and they are watching us closely. When the accountant knows that we go to church and any dishonesty would be duly noted. Maybe even being a Christian and standing for our faith among our friends who are not Christians. Maybe we would even stand the test and prove our faith to be true if called out on the carpet. We would share our beliefs about God. But integrity is what we do in the dark. Character is made up of the choices that we make when no one can see. It was when I was in the 7th and 8th grade in school. In the cafeteria there was a banner which read, "Character is who you are when no one is watching." I had no real idea what that really meant back then. But reading it every day firmly implanted that thought into my mind, and now I better understand what it meant. Of course we would climb up on the altar for Christ if that was called for. We would do the right thing one time in front of our friends. We would be honest when we know someone is watching our facts. And not only are they watching, but they would go and check in on them. We would even confess Christ. We would stand for the truth and stand for right. We would be a light in the world for Christ if we were confronted with militant resistance against the Christian life. But I'm not so concerned about those once in a while rare moments to stand for our faith, stand for Christ. No, I'm concerned more about the day-to-day living of the Christian life. We are called to give our lives in little increments, which can be much more difficult at times. We're called to live faith in the pennies of ethical decisions, the nickels of time management with our families, and the dimes of not taking the easy excuses for forsaking the assembly of the saints, the quarters of being faithful spouse, and the dollars of training up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, Ephesians 6 and verse 4. In some ways, the day-to-day living and the day-to-day making of good choices is harder than the one-time sacrifice. Yes, I would give my life for my kids, but will I give them my Monday night and spend time with them in devotional? I would give my life for my wife, but would I come home and listen to her hard day and her struggles when I've had my own and then spend time in prayer with her, taking those concerns to the Father? Yes, I would give my life for the Lord, but will I serve Him as one to lead in benevolence? Will I serve Him by teaching a Bible class or assisting in teaching? Will I host a group of young people for a period of devotion and prayer? Yes, I would give my life for Christ if called upon on a moment's notice to do so. But will I be one who will teach a young person how to pray and what prayer means? Would I share my favorite memory verse with a brother or sister in Christ? Yes, I would give my life for Christ, but will I teach the lost? Will I give of my time to do that? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 33 says, "The faith of prophets like Daniel stopped the mouths of lions." I have to ask the question, what has our faith done? What has my faith done? If the faith of one like Daniel stopped the mouths of lions, what has my faith done? We noticed this morning as we went through the textual study that why Daniel was able to stop the mouths of the lions. It was due to his faithfulness, Daniel 6 and verse 4. It was because of the innocence that he had before God and before the king, verse 20, that stopped the mouths of the lions. Are we faithful towards God? Are we faithful in such a manner that others recognize that there is no fault to be found? Daniel was determined to live for God, and all of his choices showed it. Are we determined to live for God? Do the choices which we make and have made thus far in life show that we're determined to live for God? Revealed in this study has also been six secrets of making good choices. These six secrets, in and of and by themselves, if they are accepted, is a very wise choice. It's even a wiser choice to apply these six secrets and use them in everyday life. But these six secrets are good choices because they set one up for a continual pattern of good choices. First of all, choose the Spirit well. Why was it that King Darius' attention was brought to Daniel? What did Daniel do that brought attention to him and thus gained Darius' respect? Well, verse 3 reveals, "Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm." It was an excellent spirit that was in Daniel. Here Daniel is a man who was away from his country, away from his family, away from his church, being the temple. But instead of having a spirit of bitter complaints, Daniel had an excellent spirit, one that distinguished him above others. Now, calculating the age of Daniel, Daniel is nearing the age of 60 years. A lesson for us as we age is that we must be watchful of ourselves and not develop an attitude of pessimistic attitude or a gloomy spirit about life, about the church, or about the generations that are coming after us. And on the list may go. We are to watch our spirit, or the devil may just well catch up with us. Choose the spirit well. Daniel chose his spirit well, and he was known as one to have an excellent spirit. Choose memories well. Daniel had a reservoir of faith. He prophesied nearly 70 years in all, but he had seen God's goodness towards him. If we never put our faith out there, then we will never have the experiences to draw from when our faith is tested. Daniel's faith was tested, and he had experiences to remind him of how good God is and how God will deliver. One of the reasons so much stock is put in older's ability to teach the younger is that the older has been there, seen it, done it, been a part of it, may have even failed sometimes and learned some lessons from their failures. Think about the aged Paul speaking to young Timothy and instructing him. Paul the aged had experienced in ministry. He had seen just about everything there was to see. And thus he could instruct young Timothy what he was going to see, the battles he would face, and how he needed to be prepared and how to prepare. Older Christians have tasted and they have seen that God is good, Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 6. And they are assured that God will not forsake. And thus the older should teach the younger. Daniel had faced many hardships in his day, and by having faced them and having good memories from them to draw from, he was all the more encouraged to take care of God and to trust God to take care of him. Choose memories well. Choose how to influence others well. Have we forgotten the fact that our faith affects others? Have we simply forgotten that? Daniel had been one who had seen Nebuchadnezzar submit to God upon one occasion. The faith of Darius, it appears, was solely because of Daniel. When Daniel came into the king's presence for sentencing, the king gave the strongest testimony one could give of Daniel. He said, verse 16, "Your God, whom you serve continually, He will deliver you." What greater thing could be said of you or I as a Christian than that we follow God and we follow God continually? No matter the circumstances or situation, we're always going to follow God. Do we have such an influence upon others? Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Darius saw the life of Daniel. Darius saw the good works of Daniel, and thereby glorified God because of them. But imagine if Daniel had given in. If Daniel had just followed along with the decree, or fell apart in front of the king and recanted, what would have happened to those who were watching Daniel and observing his decision making? Our influence upon others is very great, even more so when all eyes are on us as being the boss at work or the manager, the shift leader or the star athlete, that straight-A student in class. All eyes are on us. What about us in living the Christian life and being gathered in a group of non-Christians? Who then are they watching? Choose how to influence others well. Daniel made that decision, and he was blessed because of it. Choose habits well. What Daniel did in private became known in public, not because of Daniel, but because of those men who hated him and wanted his destruction and his demise. Daniel's faith was so consistent, though, that even his enemies knew where he would be after the signing of the decree. Look back at verse 10 very quickly. "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days." These evil men knew where Daniel would be because Daniel had always done it. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 1, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days come or the difficult days come, and the years draw near in which you will say, I have no pleasure in them." Daniel developed a very good habit very early on, and it stuck with him. And because of it, Daniel knew exactly what to do when the decree was signed. Take it to God in prayer. Choose your habits well. Choose to be a person of integrity. Daniel was not putting on a show. He was not doing it for attention. He was not doing it to see how men would or would not react to what he was doing. He was the real deal. We find this, verse 4, "So the governors and satraps sought to find charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no fault or no charge." Would not the world be a better place if those who live like the world had to resort to finding fault with us, not in our dealings with man, but in our continual obedience to God? When these evil men could not find fault with Daniel whatsoever, could find no charge against him, they turned to finding something wrong with his continual obedience to God. Wouldn't it be a better world if we live such a life as Daniel? When Daniel knew, verse 10, that the decree had been signed, he went home, and there he prayed as he did every day. What Daniel did in private would be made known to the king, and eventually it would change the world, but it was first known in heaven where it counted the most, and therefore Daniel was exalted because of his choice. Choose to be a person of integrity. Choose to be faithful. This final secret that is revealed takes us full circle. It is the beginning, or it is the beginning point and the end point for making good choices and staying on track. Look back at verse number 4, a very popular verse concerning Daniel and this great decision making which he made. Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 4, one more time. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault. Why? Because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. There was no doubt about how Daniel was going to handle this situation of being in the lion's den, or this situation of the decree and its signing. For he had already made his decision. He had made his decision long ago, and now he was simply living out that decision. Remember, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 2, it is required of a steward that one be found faithful. Are we not all stewards of God's Word? Stewards of God's grace? Stewards of all the things which God offers to us through His Son, Jesus Christ? Then we ought to be good stewards. We ought to be faithful with the things which God has given to us. And we know that if we are ever to be found faithful in any error, in any era of our life, it must be because we were first found faithful to God. So choose to be faithful. What Daniel did in private changed the whole world. And because of our study today, it continues to change the world. In Acts chapter 8, verse 36 and verse 37, the Ethiopian eunuch asked Philip, "What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said to him, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." Essentially, he asked the eunuch, "Eunuch, do you believe?" And the eunuch made the wise choice, the good choice, and he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? If you do believe, then repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Confess the name of Jesus Christ, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10 and verse 10. Another question was asked in Acts chapter 22 and verse number 16. "And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Question for you this evening: why are you waiting? Why are you waiting to obey Christ? Make the good choice. Make the wise choice. Make the best choice you'll ever make and obey Christ. Go forth and make good choices, starting with the choice to obey Christ, as together we stand and as we sing.